You can take your Bibles and turn to Joshua. And I want to share a little bit on casting cares and why we can cast our cares. And basically, we can cast our cares because we got a really wonderful God. So I'm going to go over a little bit of that. And in Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1. And read all the way to 9. So it says here that this is after the death of Moses. Moses was a wonderful, wonderful guy who led God's people, right? So it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. So this was a huge task that Joshua was going to undertake. So I don't think God would have said that to him if he didn't think he could do it. And if he didn't supply Joshua with all the necessary things that he needed to take over this whole thing. So let's read on. This is what he's telling them here. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, unto all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So here God is just reassuring him of this great responsibility that he's going to undertake. And he's reassuring him only the way God can. And God can supply every one of these things that he's saying here. So then he tells them, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So what he's telling them here is basically stay on the words that I told Moses that I'm telling you now. Stay on that word. Stay on his word. Verse 8. He's going to prosper whithersoever he goes. That's awesome. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So what's a great way to cast your care? If you have a care or an anxiety, you can meditate on God's word. Think about it. And that's what he's telling Joshua here. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And that word success means you'll have good wisdom. You'll prosper in wisdom, which you need wisdom when you're dealing with people throughout the day, right? Everybody needs godly wisdom. And that's what God is saying. He's given it to them. And then it goes on. It says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. He wouldn't have told them these things if it wasn't available. And to be strong, that word meant to fasten upon him. Fasten yourself upon God and what he tells you. And then be of good courage means to be steadfastly minded, to be alert. And the way he wanted them to be alert was to think about his word, the things that God promised to him. And be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, which means broken down, you know. As long as he kept looking to God, he wouldn't be dismayed. He wouldn't be broken down. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So that's something that is wonderful. If you want to cast your care, you got to understand that God is with you, with us, whithersoever we go. And that whithersoever, through great research, means wherever. Wherever and whenever you are, God is with you. And then, you know, if you read on, Joshua takes heed and he starts doing what he's supposed to do. He starts taking command and help, and, you know, telling the people how to be their best and how to get through all of this. So that's one way you could cast your care. Well, why we can cast our care is because God has given us everything we need to do it. And those are just a few things. If you turn to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. Whoa, get back here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, it says, be ye therefore followers or imitators, we know that means imitators, right, of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So we read about all those wonderful things God did for Joshua. He commanded him to just be his best, and he supplied him with his best. And then God's telling us here that he wants us to imitate him in all that he does. And we will become a sweet smelling, a sweet aromatic, pleasant aroma for everyone that's around us. You can go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5:44. This is another way we can imitate God here. It says 44, it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that, verse 45, ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So God takes care of everybody, but especially to us. And we're to imitate that way God is, to love everybody and to, you know, take care of people that want to be taken care of. And that's another way to cast your care, is to know that. To know that he takes care of everybody. He takes care of every situation that we need him to take care of. Either, and he does it for the good and the bad people. But he wants to really do it for his kids. In Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3, verse 13, everybody knows this verse, but it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And that word apprehended, in the Working Translation, Walter's book, to have apprehended means that you don't think you haven't won it all. You're not the all, you know, you haven't made it to perfection yet. But the one thing you can do, the one thing he did, was that what? He forgot those things which are behind. He forgot the not so wonderful things that he's done in his life. And then what did he do? He reached forth unto those things which are before, which means he reached forth to the things of God, the things of God and His Word. And he was the better for it. He left his cares behind, and that's what we want to do. Because, you know, we all have cares of this life. They're going to keep coming and coming. But we can focus on God and leave those cares behind. And that's the way you cast it. In Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Okay, we'll start verse 33. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So that's a good thing. God's word will always be with us. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For it as a snare, it shall come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And then, what he's saying here is you don't want to keep thinking about the junk in our lives. We want to, again, like he said in the other verse, reach forward to those things which are before. That word surfeiting just means, from what I could understand, it's kind of like a headache, from a hangover from having too much of, you know, a hangover would be alcohol. But you're having too much of not good things. And then it goes on to say drunkenness and the cares of this life. We don't want to keep thinking about the cares of this life because it's going to overtake us. And then in verse 36, what it says, watch ye therefore and what? Pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So we shed off the things of the past, the cares of this world, and we pray always that we can abound more and more in God's love and His goodness. And God always has the answer. He always has an answer for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. How many here are in Christ? Everybody? Anybody? So these old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New things have arrived, right? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So God reconciled us, and now we can reconcile others. And we can do it in a really wonderful way. It says in 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And this is where it's so wonderful. Not imputing their trespasses. He's not keeping track of our trespasses, our sins, the things we've done wrong, unto them. But hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we are free from having to think about our sin, you know, anything we've done, the things we've done wrong. We're free from that. He's not imputing them unto us. He's not keeping track of it. And then in verse 20, it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Be close to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we don't have that sin to hold us back. And again, new has come. New things have arrived. The wonderful things of God. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 and 8. You knew we had to go here, right? Actually, we'll start in verse 6. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." So be humble before God. Don't, you know, we don't know everything, but God does. And because of that, he's going to exalt us. And then it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And we know that, you know, that casting is just to cast it off. Get rid of it. Don't think about it. Don't, you know, just get it out of your mind, so that we can live peaceably. And in the Working Translation, again, it says, "Cast your every concern upon him." So with that, is there any concern that you have on your heart that God doesn't want to take care of? No. He wants to take care of it all. There's a great, we got to go to Psalm. Psalm 55. This is a wonderful verse. It says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he might sustain thee." No, it says, "And he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, to be wavered." And we do that, again, by casting our care on him, letting him take the burden for us. Let him do it. We don't have to do it. All we have to do is give it to him. How about we go to Mark chapter 8? Mark chapter 8, starting verse 1. And this is the record where our Lord and wonderful Savior feeds a very big number of people with really nothing much to start with. But he says, "And in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." That's pretty wild. But did he say he had concern about it? No, he said he had compassion on the crowd. He wasn't concerned about what was going to happen. Verse 3, "And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers, or many of them, came from afar. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" Now, it sounded like they might have had a little concern. They might have had a little anxiousness about it, but our wonderful Lord did. Verse 5, "And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the loaves, 7 loaves, and what did he do? He gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people." He gave thanks, he prayed, he thanked God for helping this whole situation. And then we go on. And they did set them before the people, verse 7, "And they had a few small fishes too. And he blessed, and he commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000. And then he sent them away. But he had no care or concern about it, because he knew his Father was going to take care of the situation. He didn't join in with the apostles, maybe a little bit of anxiousness, but he just stayed steadfast on what he knew his Father would do. He had compassion, but not care or concern about it. In Colossians chapter 2, Colossians 2. Verse 8, it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are what?
Complete."
We are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So knowing that we're complete in him, where is it? Complete means filled to the brim. We are totally complete over him, which is the head over, and in the working translation again, it says over every ruler. which is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in that guy that's the head of all of these rulers, all of the rulers. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to have cares on our heart. Or if we do, we can cast them to the guy that's the head of all principality and power. So why keep those cares? Why keep that anxiousness about us? We don't have to. In John 16, verse 32. This is Jesus Christ talking to his apostles. "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me." And guess what? We're not alone either. When we have cares and anxiousness or any kind of things we're working through, we are not alone. Verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So we are never alone. We always have God with us, and we have his Son inside of us. So we're more than conquerors every single second of every single day. And that's why we can cast our care. And in Psalm, where we'll finish out here, in Psalm chapter, or Psalm 1. There it is. It says here, in verses 1 through 3, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So the thing you get from that is, who's, you know, you want to stay by the rivers of living waters. You want to stay by that river. And our river, our sustenance is God. And the more we stay by him, the closer we stay by him, the more we're going to have beautiful green leaves. We're going to prosper. We're going to be in great health. And we're going to live a wonderful life. So that's some of why we can cast our care, because we got a great God.